This is Brother Gino, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study today. It's certainly a blessing to have each and every one of you today with me, and I appreciate you taking time out of your very busy day to join me today. And we've been doing a study on the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we're going to pick up and continue our study in chapter number 11 of 1 Corinthians. Now, in the first 16 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what Paul is dealing with here is with the headship or the proper order of authority, the covering of the head with hair, and the protection afforded women when they are covered. Now, let's turn and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we want to read the first 16 verses together, and then we'll get right into our study today. The Word of God says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as she was shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, by all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Amen. So we see here in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11, headship is spoken about. And in verse number 3, we are told that the head of man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, let's first look at the head of Christ, which is God. And what we want to see is Jesus willingly humbled himself to the headship of Christ. Amen. We read in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what I want you to see here is none of that wouldn't have happened, what we just read, if Christ didn't come under the headship and be obedient to God the Father. Amen. He willingly humbled himself, put himself under the headship of God the Father, so that you and I would have a way to be saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because that wouldn't have happened if Jesus didn't humble himself and place himself willingly under the headship of the Father, even though he was equal with the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 28, that the Father is greater than I. The Father is greater than I. And for Jesus to make that statement, again, he humbled himself. He willingly placed himself under the headship of God the Father. Amen. Again, we're looking at things that show us that the head of Christ is God. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 25 to 28, the Son himself is subject, amen, unto God the Father. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 to 28. The Word of God says, "For he," meaning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "must reign till he put all enemies under his feet." So the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will reign until he's put all of his enemies under his feet. Verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet." Amen. "For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all." So the Father has put all the things under the feet of the Son. And when all of that is accomplished, when all things have been put under the feet of the Son, then the Son is going to give all things and put all things under the Father. So then the Godhead will be all in all. So we see clearly then, as we're looking at the order of headship, that the head of Christ is God. Now we want to look at and discuss the head of man, the head of man, and the head of women. Again, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man. So we see, going all the way back to Genesis, the husband rules his wife. The Lord told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. in thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. These are not my words. These are God's words, that the husband would have rule over his wife. The man would have rule over the woman. The head of the woman is man. Amen. That's all biblical. That's exactly what the words of God are telling us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 22 to 24, we are told that wives are subject unto their husbands. Wives are subject unto their husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, the words of Almighty God say this: Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Nothing deep, very clear, very easily understood. Amen. In fact, the census used to identify the man as the head of the household. Now, we are also told the wife is subject unto her husband even when he is disobedient to the word of God. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7, the word of God says this: Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So right off the bat, it's telling the wives to be subject to the husband, even though the husband does not obey the word of God. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So, even though the husband doesn't obey the word of God, just how the wife lives herself, conducts herself, lives her way in a God-pleasing way will have effect upon the husband. It says, while adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. This is so counter to what's going on today. Amen. It's just saying that the woman shouldn't dress in such a way that she brings attention to herself. And that's exactly what's happening today. Amen. Women are dressing in such a way that they're bringing attention to themselves. Amen. And the way a woman dresses affects a man, because a man is affected by what he sees. Amen. And many men have fallen because, amen, of their lust. Lusting after other women because of the way they dress. Let's continue on in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. God, to God, a woman with a meek and quiet spirit In the sight of God is a great price. Amen. He's looking for godly women today, just as much as he's looking for godly men. And how can a woman be in subjection to a husband if she doesn't have a meek and quiet spirit? And again, if society is teaching women be empowered, amen, there's nothing wrong with a woman being successful, having a job. But again, we go to biblical principles. A meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God is a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So this is the way it's been for a long time. Amen. And we go back in verse 6, it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. So we're giving Sarah as an example, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, your husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. So a man and wife's relationship affects their prayer life. Amen. The husband is to give honor unto the wife. Amen. So we see clearly then that the head of the man, or rather the head of the woman, is the man. Now, this comes from the order of creation. This comes from the order of creation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of man, and neither was the man created for woman, but the woman for the man. And then if we go back to Genesis chapter 2 with me, Genesis chapter 2 in verses 20 to 23, the Word of God has this to say. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So here we see it clearly. Straight from the Word of God. The man was created first, and the woman was created for him and from him. So the woman's head is the man. Amen. Now let's move on, and we want to talk about coverings. Covering. But before I do that, all of what I'm saying today and showing you is straight from the Word of God, is it not? So you have to make up your mind who you're going to follow. This world that we live in the course of it, are the words of Almighty God. Who it all boils down to, my dear listeners, what is your final authority? Is it the words of God, or is it the words and philosophy of something else? Again, all that we read today and we discuss, people say that's old-fashioned and it doesn't apply anymore. It hasn't changed, my dear friend, one iota from the Garden of Eden all the way till now. So it's up to you who you're going to choose to follow. Amen. It's up to you, my friends. And all I can tell you, if you choose to follow the world, you're in for a lot of trouble and disaster. Okay, like I said, we're going to look at covering in verses 4 through 6. 4 through 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. So, what does to cover mean? To cover means to hide from sight, to conceal, to spread something over, to place a cover over, and there are many other definitions. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 24, we're told that the ship that the Lord and disciples were in was covered with waves. The waves were coming up over and covering the ship. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, the Word of God tells us there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Anything that you think is concealed is going to be revealed because God sees everything. Amen. The idea of covering in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is to cover the head, not just the top of the head. So, what is the cover? Well, let's look in verses 14 and 15 of 1 Corinthians 11. The Word of God says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So the covering is here. Amen. It's already there. The head is covered when he or she has long hair. She is given long hair for a covering in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15. And the Word of God tells us the man is not supposed to have long hair in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. The length of long hair is implied in the following verses. Mary was able to wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. Amen. It was that long. In John 11, 2, John chapter 11, verse 2, the Word of God says, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her hair, or wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Amen. And then we see, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, and in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, the words of God tell us a woman's hair is long enough to braid. Amen? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it says, in like manner also, the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Here it is. Not with braided hair, or gold or pearls or costly array. Amen. And then in 1 Peter 3:3, the Word of God says, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or a putting on of apparel. Amen. And then in Revelations 9:8, we see the locusts there are described as they had the hair of a woman. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, if the woman is not covered, let her be shorn. Women captured by Israel who would be married to their captor were to shave their head according to Deuteronomy 21:12. Paul said that if it is a shame to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. To shear is to cut off the hair. To shave is to sever the hair from the head or another part of the body close to the roots. To cut off hair close to the skin. Amen. In Isaiah 3:24, judgment against the woman included baldness instead of well-set hair. Isaiah 3:24, we read this, and it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth and burning instead of beauty. Note, amen, also, in Numbers chapter 6:5, a man could not let his hair grow, in a Nazarite vow, but if he shaved it off at the end of the vow. Note on covering. David and the men that went with him away from Absalom had their head covered. Haman went to this house mourning, having his head covered. Make take the hats off when entering a church. Women used to wear hats, scarves, and veils in church. Amen. Note on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, women prophesying or praying, amen, are to have their head covered. Amen. And we see examples of Anna the prophetess in Luke 2, verses 36 to 38. And the daughters of Philip in Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. In the Old Testament, Deborah was a prophetess in Judges 4:4. And her head was covered. She had long hair. Amen. So we're going to stop right now because we're running out of time. And we'll finish off our discussion of headship and covering next time we come. We're on the pastor's study. I hope you join me then. And I really hope this study in 1 Corinthians is a blessing to you. Please let me know. Drop me a line. Till next time, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.